Welcome to KDVS 90.3 FM, Davis. My name is Dr. Andy, and this, ladies and gentlemen, is Wednesday afternoon at 5 o'clock. And that must mean that on KDVS throughout the land is Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. Thanks very much for tuning in to your local campus and community radio station on a Wednesday afternoon. Got a great show in store for you today. Multitudes of poets are here. They're here as part of a required assignment for a freshman seminar that I'm teaching this quarter called Three Poems a Week. Yes, Three Poems a Week is the title of the class. And a number of the students in that freshman seminar are going to come by and share with us some of the poems that they've been working on this quarter. In addition to hearing all those new voices, young, vibrant, enthusiastic, eager voices, I'll mention, over the course of the show, a couple other events that you may want to check into. For instance, starting in half an hour, you'll be able to see a reception and a celebration for the student prize-winning authors whose work has appeared in the latest edition of Prized Writing. Prized Writing is the undergraduate journal of nonfiction expository prose here at UC Davis. And every year we have a big gala. Maybe gala is overstating it. But an event celebrating these authors and the people who make Prized Writing happen, including my colleague in the University Writing Program, Pamela Demery. So that is this afternoon, starting at 5:30, at the Bueller Alumni Center. Bueller, Bueller, Bueller. Yes, the Bueller Alumni Center on the UC Davis campus. It's right across the street from the Mondavi Center. We'll also have some Spanish-inflected music this afternoon, as I was challenged to do by a colleague of mine who pointed out to me that Cain Velasquez is the new heavyweight champion of the Ultimate Fighting Championship and that I play far too little Spanish-inflected music on this, everybody's favorite poetry and technology program. Ladies and gentlemen, you've tuned in to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. We'll be right back. Thank you. Welcome, everyone, to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour on KDVS, 90.3 FM in Davis. This is Dr. Andy, your host, and as I mentioned at the top of the hour, we have a great number of poets who are eager to share with you their work. We're going to hear a quick message from our sponsor, and then I'll introduce you to the first of the performers. So keep it right here on KDVS.
This hour of programming is brought to you courtesy of the Yolo County Federal Credit Union. The Yolo County Federal Credit Union is a nonprofit financial cooperative with locations throughout Yolo County. The Yolo County Federal Credit Union offers a wide range of financial services and can be reached by phone at 530-668-2700 or online at yolofcu.org.
Welcome back, everyone, to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. I'm excited to introduce you all to my first poet. Regina Restrevera is here. Regina Felicia Restrevera is a UC Davis freshman from San Bruno, California. She is pursuing a major in mechanical engineering. Although this is her first poetry reading on the radio, and I guess that's true for most of you at home as well, she has been previously published in poetry anthologies, as well as her high school's literary magazine. Now she's going to share with us an original work. Regina Restrevera, welcome to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
Thank you, Dr. Andy. So this is my poem called Latte. There goes Jamie Truman with the obnoxious usage of dude in every other sentence in his 30-minute essay. And here's Sarah Feldman, just putting floating pink hearts over every single lowercase I. Lorena Valle actually addressed the prompt, plus 10 points for articulating her thesis. It's a junior English class, for Christ's sake. Now who is this? Can't even discern a letter in the name. F. No. Slash. 000. Exclamation point. Redo illegible. The poor sucker. I didn't have my soy latte yet. And it's what? Good Lord, it's 4 in the afternoon, and no soy lattes yet? Blasphemous. The lack of skill is getting to me, cutting off the circulation to my brain, trapped in an amalgam of texting slang, egregious misspellings, and heinous grammar usage. What slash, have slash, be slash, teenager slash, been slash slash slash, doing slash slash. There. Much better. Automatic redo for the rest. No curve at all for their torture. Their karma for handing me this garbage. It's 4:15. First soy latte of the day.
All right. Very nice. That was Regina Restrevera. And was the title of that poem Soy Latte? Now, it sounds like with that particular poem, you're speaking from experience. Do you feel that you have an untreated addiction to coffee drinks?
I love coffee. Yeah. So I felt that I had to write this, especially as my energizer getting through the day.
Right. Especially here at 5 o'clock, you're still on the clock, still performing, only this time to a large audience listening at home. Good. In terms of that particular poem, I really liked the use of textual diction, textual syntax, interruptions that would be familiar to many readers your age. And I'm wondering if you could comment on the difficulty of representing what is often a visual medium of expression. Via an oral medium of spoken word poetry.
I thought it was a little difficult, but I was thinking about the thought process in my head. So, like, if I think about slash, I think about, like, my hand moving across the paper.
Right. Excellent. Good. That was really well done. Thank you, Regina, for sharing that poem.
Thank you, Dr. Andy.
Absolutely. Well, folks, you all see how it works. We share poetry this afternoon, and you all get to listen in. And in the background, we're enjoying some delightful music by Ricardo Cobo. This is Walking on the Water, Spanish and Latin music on acoustic guitar. This is Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour on KDBS. And I have another poet here. Stephen Junko is here in the studio. He's a first-year English major from Southern California, and his interests include collecting records, photography, dancing, and music. Well, Stephen, you've come to the right place at KDBS. Thanks for appearing on Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
My pleasure.
All right, so tell me the title of the poem you're going to share with listeners today.
This poem's entitled Infinite Rotations Per Minute.
Excellent. Let's hear it.
Spiraling leaves take their final fervent twirl. Earthbound ballerinas coloring my world with captivating hues of reds and gold cast beneath the canvas sky's blue mold. The breeze piercing as sweetly and deeply as Miles's blue mood, blowing through treetops like trumpets as roaring crescendos are accompanied by hushed harmonies paying homage to Miss Holiday and leaving me entranced in the remembrance of Ella's stunning elegance. Echoes of jazz stimulating senses simultaneously enabling my soul to relax, an enticing taste of nature's sweetest aphrodisiac. The record begins to slowly spin and the season starts to unwind in a melodic manner so heavenly and divine. Concerning the tempo of my heart, now is my preferred signature of time. Baptized in the blissful resonance of booming bass lines from dusty records dug up and resurrected that now ceaselessly spin, speaking in soothing static whispers. The crossfader forecasting the future as it shifts so swiftly. These tables never stop turning, incessantly blending the seasons that leave bare branches yearning to unravel the roots of reason. The seasonal revisions of the sun's position plays the muse who inspires the creation of such a captivating tune, reconfiguring constellations, making shining stars swoon. Inevitably, this is the equinox when birds fly south in flocks, seeking refuge, soaring through endless skies with the cold calmly approaching as I gently spread my fragile wings to greet the changes that the universe brings. This is the product of the promise that Persephone had sealed, concealed in her consumption of Hades' pomegranate seeds. Why do these changing times make it so hard to believe? Learning to recognize the gentle nature of existence, growing towards comprehending the concepts of change and resilience. Yearning to face the world with the innocent curiosity of infants, but I fear that my ties to innocence may have already grown too distant.
All right, well done. That was Stephen Junko here on Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. I love the delightful mix of not only sounds and words that you have there, lots of alliteration and interweaving and repetition of sounds, but also the allusions you make from jazz to Greek mythology. It's also an ambitious poem, so I'm wondering if you could say something about its genesis. How did this come about, and did you imagine something as long and as intertwined as the final result when you started working on this?
When I first started with this poem, it was part of a longer piece, and I decided to take from that piece from the middle because I felt that sort of carried the momentum.
Mm-hmm.
And during the revision process, I was kind of drawing inspiration as I was listening to records, and I realized it over time, and then I didn't realize that the records were inspiring me until I actually started writing the poem and seeing what came out.
That's great. Now, when you say records, do you mean CDs? Do you mean something that was downloaded, or do you mean actual vinyl?
I mean actual vinyl.
That's great. 12-inch
vinyls or 45s.
Excellent. And I don't know how familiar you are with KDBS, but you know we've got quite a large record collection.
Yes,
down
I was observing that when I walked in.
Yeah.
Kind of dazzled by it.
It's actually the second largest collection of vinyl in all of California.
That's great.
Is right here in KBS. So you, like any of our other listeners, could someday set up your own radio show, and then you'll have a chance to share all that. Well, good. Something to think about. Stephen, excellent. You know, another audience that I think would love to hear that poem is the next meeting of Six Bits. Do you know about Six Bits?
Yes. I believe it's on Tuesday, November 2nd, right?
Yes,
yeah.
That's correct. Tuesday, November 2nd, that's this coming Tuesday at the Griffin Lounge, Six Bits, which is the UC Davis Spoken Word Collective and a large and festive community of open mic performers, will be performing at the Griffin Lounge on the UC Davis campus. I checked the Facebook event page for this particular event, and scores and scores of people have said that they're going to be showing up. So it'll be quite an event. If you would like to hear your poem heard, then make sure you show up early. These things often start around 7 or 7:30, but it's good to get there well ahead of time if you want to perform. All right, Stephen Junko, thanks so much for sharing on Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a quick break for a public service announcement where we're going to hear about the Linux Users Group of Davis. And then when we return, more poetry here on Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
The Linux Users Group of Davis, or LUGOD, is a nonprofit organization dedicated to promoting the Linux computer operating system and other open source products as an alternative to expensive, proprietary, and monopolistic software. LUGOD meets in Davis on the first Tuesday and third Monday of each month. For more information, visit LUGOD's website at lugod.org or contact Bill Kendrick at 530-759-1019. Or via email at root@lugod.org.
Welcome back, everyone, to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour on KDVS 90.3 FM in Davis. The song that you hear in the background is called Melancholia. It's by Ricardo Cobo, an album called Walking on the Water, which is full of Spanish and Latin music on the acoustic guitar. This is KDVS 90.3 FM in Davis, and this is our quarterly celebration of the freshmen who are in my freshman seminar. This time, a seminar called Three Poems a Week. All of them are celebrating poetry by sharing with us individual, original works. Susan Kang is my next guest. She's a first-year student at UC Davis, and she is an undeclared life science major. Her hometown is Fremont, California, and she likes to read stories, daydream, and sleep. She's taken a little bit of a break from that ambitious schedule to appear with us today on Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. Susan Kang, welcome to the program.
Hi.
Good to have you here. What's the title of the poem that you've chosen to read today?
It's called A Random Thought.
A Random Thought. All right, Susan Kang, let's hear your random thought.
If up were down and down were up, fall headfirst into the lightless sky and spread hands out to catch the soaring raindrops.
That's wonderful. Why don't you read it to us one more time?
If up were down, and down were up, fall headfirst into the lightless sky and spread hands out to catch the soaring raindrops.
Excellent. Now, Susan, I don't know if there's more or less rain in Fremont than there is here in Davis, but we got to enjoy a rainstorm over the weekend. And I'm wondering, what is it about the rain or other meteorological phenomena that inspires your poetry?
Well, actually, this would be more inspired from when I used to climb a mountain peak that was nearby my home,
mm-hmm.
called Mission Peak. And I would kind of wonder with my friends, what does it feel like to walk through a cloud? Like, would you be running into dust particles or things like that? And so figured if you fall into the sky then and it's raining, then could you, like, catch raindrops in your hand?
And so it's a poem in part about the vertigo of flight, I suppose.
Yeah.
All right, good. Susan Kang, thank you very much. I enjoyed that. Thanks for coming on Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
Thank you.
Sure. Well, folks, you see how it works. While I get ready to welcome our next poet, let me tell you about another event that's happening this evening. I got an email from Joe Wenderoth, and he told me that there's going to be a poetry reading tonight by Michael Earl Craig in the theater building, which is the Celeste Turner Wright building. Some of you old-timers like myself might remember Celeste Turner Wright, the person. I believe she was the first female professor here at UC Davis. She also funded a prize for undergraduate and graduate poets. And she would take the prize-winning poets out to lunch. This was back when I started in the early 90s here as part of the UC Davis community. Well, in the Celeste Turner Wright Theater Building, in Lab A, which is a theater space in Wright Hall, this evening, none other than Michael Earl Craig will be reading. That's tonight at 8 o'clock. Michael Earl Craig, Joe Wenderoth would rank as one of the best young American poets that he's come across. And he's a farrier. You heard me, a farrier. He works with horses by putting shoes on them. He lives in Montana and puts shoes on horses for a living. And I've got a couple poems here of his. Perhaps if we have time later in the program, I'll have a chance to read one of those. I have one that I've picked out called The Bad Clown. He's going to be reading Michael Earl Craig will tonight at 8 o'clock in Wright Hall on the UC Davis campus. And if you're interested in poetry, you may want to attend that particular event. Hannah Feldman is here in the studio with me of KDBS. In addition to being a poet, she is a freshman at UC Davis. She's currently undeclared, she says, but she loves reading, writing, visual arts, theater, and hiking. She was born in and raised in Marin County, California, but right now she's right here in 14 Lower Freeborn and eager to share with us an original poem. Hannah, welcome to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
Thank you.
Absolutely. So what is the title of the poem that you've chosen?
Earth My Body, Water My Soul.
Excellent. Why don't you just launch right into it?
All right. Toes dip into the frigid water, but it's a good kind of cold, a real cold. Mother's water breaking, streaming down her most fragile and finite crevices, birthing spirit, infusing life into my cracked heels, cleansing dirt speckles from my pores, teasing my legs as she laps at my ankles, laughing at my sock tan. Calves give way to thighs, thighs to hips, hips to breasts, underarms tighten under my still warm body, shoulders draw against my sun-kissed neck. Teeth chatter in resistance, chapped lips part in primitive anticipation. A second steals a moment's hopeless hesitation, and then the plunge. The frozen instant robs me of inhibitions, penetrates my mind with a howl so liberating, I cry out at the mother sun, and she embraces me.
That's wonderful. What a sensual poem that is. Makes me want to run outside. You had the word primitive as an adjective, and it was before a long noun. Do you remember what that was?
Anticipation.
Primitive anticipation. I love that that combination of words. I'm wondering, what was it that inspired the phrase primitive anticipation for you? How did that come to you? Do you remember?
I do. Well, if I'm going to tell that story, can I? If you don't mind, I'll tell a little bit about the origin of the poem.
Yeah.
I worked at a summer camp right outside of Yosemite this summer. And during that summer, during most of the staff's time off, we would kind of run down to the river where we would immediately jump in. And I guess the primitive anticipation comes from that moment right before you hit the water when you've been working all day, you're hot, you're sweaty, your pores are just seeping this, like, sweat, and it's, like, natural but gross but great, and everything just kind of comes together and climaxes in this moment, and it's just, like, a very, very natural and sensational thing. So for me, the primitive anticipation really just came from that feeling of being so, like, at one with this river and, like, really just, like, getting into it in so many ways.
That's great. And I guess in that way it's primitive, too, because parts of Yosemite have not changed much in the last couple thousand years. And it's wonderful that we're still protecting and preserving such places so that one can get a sense of a natural history and enjoy those moments of primitive anticipation.
Definitely.
Great. Good for you. Hannah, that was wonderful. Thank you so much for sharing that.
Absolutely. Thank you, Dr. Andy.
Sure. Well, folks, you're listening to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour on KDVS 90.3 FM in Davis. We'll be right back with an important public service announcement. So keep it right here on 90.3 FM, KDVS, Davis. Reminds the women of our community to have screening mammograms at recommended intervals. Today's low-dose state-of-the-art mammography can detect tumors too small to be discovered by touch. Don't delay, because early diagnosis can mean that you'll have better than a 95% chance of successful treatment. This important reminder is brought to you by the concerned staff at Hand Me a Rib in Vacaville. You may visit them online at handmearib.com on the air because they care about the health of the women in our community. Everyone, to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour on KDVS 90.3 FM in Davis. As I said at the top of the hour, we're celebrating Spanish and Latin music this afternoon in recognition of the accomplishments of one Mr. Cain Velasquez. If you're curious about that, you can just Google the name Cain Velasquez. We're reading poetry on this afternoon's edition of Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. I've got a dozen or so students, mostly freshmen, who are sharing their work with me and with all of you. They're members of a class that I'm teaching this quarter, a freshman seminar called Three Poems a Week. Coral Kahane is my next guest. Coral Kahane is a freshman at UC Davis and a chemistry major. Coral was born in Israel and currently lives in a small town in British Columbia, Canada. She has not had much experience in writing poetry, she asserts, but she is enjoying her newfound interest in it. She's also interested in singing and playing the piano. Coral Kahane, welcome to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
Thank you.
Good to have you here. What's the title of the poem that you've chosen to share today?
It's called Leaves Beneath My Boots.
Great. Let's hear it.
All right. Sometimes, when my thoughts disperse, I look up. Up to where the swaying treetops meet the crisp, almost blue sky. Were there not leaves there yesterday? I ponder as I wrap my scarf tighter and pull my mittens on. Hear the crunching beneath my boots? My darling bought me them. Warm, just as the sun was when we first picnicked in the park. And crunch went the warm, crispy bread that you had made us for lunch. How fond I was of you. How fond I still am of these boots. I'm protected against the new winter wind, where the leaves evolve from green through red. At least that's what you told me. At least that's what you said. I still wear your boots when the leaves fall, as my thoughts drift to you.
That's very nice. I love that that line, maybe about halfway through, where you you compare the silent interlocutor of the poem, the you, to the boots. Do you remember what that is? I'm still fond of something or another.
How fond I was of you, how fond I still am of these boots.
That's great, because to my mind, and I'll see if I can turn this into a question for you.
Okay.
To my mind, when you say how fond I was of you, there's a suggestion that that fondness may have dissipated. And then, but then we see in the poem that it's actually been transferred over to the boots, and that the boots are still the recipient of the fondness. So it's like being cruel to be kind, as the old saying goes.
Kind of.
Tell me about the variety of we've been talking a little bit about weather, the variety of biomes, if you will, that you've known, living in Israel, living in Canada, living here in Davis. Is there a kind of strangeness to your relationship with the outdoors when you go out for a walk here in Davis, and that it's different from these other places that you've lived?
I mean, one of the reasons I picked California, a lot of the, besides the school, was because of the weather.
Yeah.
And in Canada, of course, it's freezing cold right there, right now. And I don't really remember Israel that much, but I do remember it was very warm and, like, beautiful, and I've been back to visit. But it kind of reminds me, California of Israel has kind of got the same climate going on.
Right.
So it has, like, a nice nostalgic feel to it, and it's a lot warmer here than it is in Canada, so I'm pretty happy about it.
Excellent. And you often remind friends, say via Facebook, about how nice the weather is?
Yes, friends, all the time.
Okay, good. Well, I guess that would be one of the pleasures. And kind of a pleasure with a tinge of cruelty, in similar to the tone, perhaps, of that poem that you just shared with us.
Yep.
All right, great. Coral Cahin, thanks so much for coming on the radio show.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Well, folks, it's time for another guest. Another 5 minutes, another guest. And here we have someone who, like myself, has spent a bunch of time in Berkeley. Her name is Evka Whaley. Is that Maida?
Maida,
excuse me. Evka Whaley Maida. She's from Berkeley, and she's an art studio major here at the University of California, Davis. She enjoys hiking, camping, exploring. And although she hasn't had a lot of experience writing poetry, she's eager to share with all of you this afternoon a poem that she's written for my class, 3 poems a week. Evka, what's the name of the poem that you've composed?
It's called Beadwork.
Beadwork. Great. Let's hear it.
Cat's eye fixes its gaze onto your lips, lick the tip of your tongue as the next cane bead drops. Milk glass fits next to rondelle, a bracelet begins. This one is for Daddy. He requested it, and together we prepared a pattern. Iridescent marble translucent lampwork laps up the thread. A slow red line is crossing pale olive facets, counting twos, counting in threes. End of the line is where the blade severs and creates a circle.
That's wonderful. In fact, I want to hear the whole thing again. Could you read it again?
Okay. Beadwork. Cat's eye fixes its gaze onto your lips, lick the tip of your tongue as the next cane bead drops. Milk glass fits next to rondelle, a bracelet begins. This one is for Daddy. He requested it, and together we prepared a pattern. Iridescent marble translucent lampwork laps up the thread. A slow red line is crossing pale olive facets, counting twos, counting in threes. End of the line is where the blade severs and creates a circle.
That's wonderful. the language is very rich there. Lots of descriptions, lots of colors. The problems with descriptions in the poems of a lot of new poets is that when we use modifiers, adjectives and adverbs, we often choose words that that run together in familiar combinations in ways that we may have heard several times before. And I think one thing that's wonderful about your poem Beadwork is that it it uses a number of words that we've heard before, but in combinations that we haven't, and so that it offers lots of surprise. And in that way, there's a kind of parallel, I'd say, between the artistry that goes into, say, creating a bracelet and the artistry that goes into creating a poem, where you're also thinking of combinations of twos and threes, but twos and threes that are words, so that the string is very much like syntax rather than, say, like string. I'm trying to figure out what sort of question I can make of all this. Have you been to a better place to bead here in Davis?
No, I haven't, but I've looked around.
Yeah.
I'll be visiting soon.
it's one of my daughter's favorite places.
Mm-hmm.
And they do birthday parties. She's had a birthday party there. And you can imagine all of these, oh, maybe this was 3 or 4 years ago, so all of these 8 and 9 year old girls sitting at big tables, picking out beads and making necklaces and bracelets. It's from a parent's point of view, it's wonderful because it forces all the kids to slow down and to focus, mm-hmm. and to think about something artsy. I mentioned Berkeley before. Are there any Berkeley sensibilities, do you think, that appear in the poems that you've written this quarter for our freshman seminar?
That's a difficult question.
I promised you all difficult questions, didn't I?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Well, people ask me if living in Berkeley influences some of my artwork, and I mean, I've lived there my whole life, so I couldn't really imagine. I'm sure it does, but it's just hard just because I've grown up there and it's so much a part of me that I can't really see a perspective outside of having grown up in Berkeley. So I'm sure that, yes, it has.
Right.
But I wouldn't be able to say exactly how.
it continues to be a magical place. What part of Berkeley did you grow up in?
I live in North Berkeley.
Okay. I lived at 21 San Mateo Road, just a few doors down from Indian Rock.
Oh, I live near Indian Rock.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
So, you know, probably I've passed your parents on the street a number of times back in the day. This was, now that I think of it, before you were born. But Indian Rock has stayed the same over the decades. Evka, that was a wonderful poem. Thanks
Thank
so much
you.
For bringing it to the radio show. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you see how this works. We're getting to enjoy poems from a great number of voices. They're coming rapid fire, and they shall continue. Hope you're enjoying it as I am. We'll be back with more in just a moment of Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
Les habla Ricardo Montalbán. Hay muchas maneras de medir el éxito. Para los Shriners son los casi 700,000 niños con problemas ortopédicos o quemaduras que ellos han ayudado tratándolos por toda América del Norte con los últimos adelantos médicos por más de 80 años y completamente gratis. Hay un hospital Shriners que trata a los niños de esta zona. Si conoce a un niño que los Shriners podrían ayudar, llame al 1-800-237-5055. Shriners, dispensando ayuda y esperanza a los niños desde hace más de 80 años.
Welcome back, everyone, to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. A couple events coming up. Starting right about now, there is a celebration of undergraduate writing at the Bueller Alumni Center on the UC Davis campus, right across the street from the Mondavi Center. If you're the sort of person who likes to show up where there's free cheese and fruit and beverages, then you'll want to race right over to the Buehler Alumni Center. Clap loudly when the different student prize-winning writers are introduced. All of their work has been collected in an anthology called Prized Writing, which celebrates the best in undergraduate writing here at UC Davis. Also tonight, though at 8 o'clock, in Wright Hall in Lab A, which is a theater space, you can see Michael Earl Craig read his poetry. He's a poet from Montana who works most of the year as a farrier, which means, of course, that he puts horseshoes on horses. And then, a week from tonight, on November 3rd, A.D. Winans will be in town. Alan Winans is an American poet. He's an essayist. He's a short story writer. He's had poetry, book reviews, and short stories published in over 1,500 magazines and anthologies. And get this, he's written 50 books of poetry. 50 books. In 2010, there will be a celebration of Winans with the publication, I believe next month, of his selected poetry. That will be a 300-page book itself. In 2006, he was awarded the Penn National Josephine Miles Award for Excellence in Literature. And just last year, he won the Penn Oakland Award, a Lifetime Achievement Award for Poetry. That's A.D. Winans. And that'll be at Bistro 33 as part of the Poetry Night Reading Series. That happens a week from tonight at 8 o'clock at 221 F Street in the old City Hall building here in the city of Davis. Well, speaking of poetry, I've got another poet who has performed at Bistro 33 at the open mic here in the studio. Her name is Rachel Cooper. Rachel Cooper is a freshman here at UC Davis, which means she's a member of the class of 2014. Her major is statistics with a minor in psychology. She's from Novato, California, and her interests include Taekwondo, FIRST Robotics, Youth Speaks Slam Poetry, and photography. Rachel Cooper, welcome to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
Hi.
Good to have you here. So what's the title of the poem that you're going to present to listeners today?
XOXO.
Great. Let's hear it.
I am a fool, but I'm not a fool for love. I'm a fool that doesn't stray past Cupid's path as he blindly shoots his two sharp arrows filled with three quick words. Because lines are made for scripts and ER heart monitors ringing sound flat line, flat words for your see-through affection. And I'm sorry I'm not in need of a pseudo-Romeo giving me overused prose. So, do not call me baby. I'm a woman with logic battling hard every sound of every shotgun start. And do not call me sweetheart when you're as willing as Cupid to be blind to yours and mine own heartbreak. And do not call me angel when you won't see the flaws in our own fragile glass skin. And certainly, you do not get to tell me I'm the apple of your eye. I am not the apple bared upon the tree. I'm not sinner temptation. My leaves are not brewed for your camel tea that you can sip on your own Earl Grey mornings. Because I suppose I don't know how to say this. Although 1,000 poets before have taken the very essence and snatched each word up until they managed to define an indefinable thought. Although 1,000 painters before have layered stroke over stroke to place an image before our eyes that holds up an idea that is thought truly to be only held within. Because I suppose the word love just doesn't cut it anymore. I love you has become ILY, and I can't tell why love would be abbreviated, nor can I tell you judge a relationship based on how many comments your status change gets on Facebook. So how about you get off my MySpace and figure out the space in my head is full of dreams you never bother to acknowledge. Because I'm sorry what I'm looking for isn't on your info page, and being part of your life doesn't mean following your Twitter text, and I guess I just don't see the appeal in pretending I feel the world revolves around you when you don't know what makes up my world. And I suppose I'm just not impressed by your XOXO text, and the hearts on the screen aren't going to fill the hearts in between cell phone towers and internet connections. Well, my bad for thinking there's more than holding hands. My bad for wanting more than one-word answers to how I use. My bad for thinking it meant you should be a best friend but more. Well, BTW, my bad, because JTLUK, I believe there must be more than just what you put between asterisks and wanting to see more than just what you post on my wall. I guess I just see a difference between loving someone and being in love, because being in love is drowning in it and just not caring, and I'm just not impressed by your SOSO text, and I'm not your lifesaver, your own personal smile. I'm supposed to be the water you embrace, Because I guess I just see really caring is more than knowing I like math better than science. Caring is more than saying too cute on my profile pic. Caring is more than knowing I like to write, but why I write. And I guess can't care about you when you is buried many trash romance comedies in someone else's words, when you are emoticons and emails and a way on I am. Well, it's a fair weather road, and I want you to hold me close in the storm because the rain is Mother Nature yelling I exist. And I can feel the cold more than I can feel your hard-headed attempts at being real. And I lesson 3, divide truth, run a logic, a late night goodnight, don't tell me you care, just that you can't sleep. And don't tell me it means something, because a friend is supposed to sing back the song in your heart when you forgot all the words, and you can't even tell me what genre I'm humming. But who am I to you when you can't tell me more than one-word adjectives instead of three-word meaning? What do I do at night? Where do I want to go? When I'm nervous, how do I act? What is my nightmare, my own devastation? What is my groundkeeper that holds me in place? What do I do when I cry? Have you realized that love is a broken record, but with MP3s and CDs, we forgot how to fix our archaic technology, and now it's just skipping, and your lines are on repeat. Well, when I cry, I put my hair in front of my eyes. I don't want to be seen. I don't want to see. Maybe it's me hoping love is blind, and I won't have to look at words. Send 160-character limit text instead of I can feel in my heart what's next, instead of having to make a heart out of less than three words missing from your vocabulary, something missing from your empty ribcage. Well, record skipping, lines repeating, but bum. Well, I'm just not impressed by your XOXO text.
Great. Rachel Cooper, that was wonderful.
Yeah.
I got the sense, and so did some of your colleagues in our class, that you had some experience as a performer of poetry before you joined the class. I'm wondering if you could say something about some of that, either as a performer or as a consumer of performances.
This was obviously like a slam poem, and that's what I normally would perform with slam poetry. And as you said, I was part of Youth Speaks. And it was probably one of the best things I was in high school, because it was a chance that you could go up and you could say something completely raw that's completely you, and no one in that room is going to judge. Everyone's just there to hear what you're thinking, and I think it's a really good opportunity for students. And any age, really.
Excellent. And so you'll get to see a 6Bits event this coming Tuesday. I don't know if that's on your calendar. But that will give you and other members of the UC Davis community an opportunity to see our own iterations, our own variations of slam poetry here in UC Davis. So, good. Thank you so much for sharing that. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. We're going to switch a few chairs, and we'll be right back with more poetry. Stick around. Welcome back, everyone, to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. It's a good thing I'm a doctor, because half my students this afternoon have some sort of respiratory illness. They're doing a good job of not letting it show, though, on the radio. Megan Call is my next guest. She's a freshman from Santa Rosa, and like lots of the readers and writers that you've heard this afternoon, she loves to read and she loves adventure, and she, too, has performed at Poetry Slams and Open Mic. And here she is this afternoon on Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. Hi, Megan. Welcome to the program.
Hello.
What is the title of the poem that you'd like to share this afternoon?
Highway 1.
Highway 1. Great. Let's hear it.
We climb to our destination. The sheer cliff cascades at our touch.
The salt water sears your nose as the ocean mist settles on mine. We climb to our destination. You trip, and I fall. You on a rock, and I for you.
That's wonderful. I was wondering if that's where you were going with You Trip and I Fall.
I was hoping for the surprise ending. Darn.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm an experienced reader of poetry and listener, too. Tell me about some of the inspirations for your own poetry, whether it be works that you've read in a, perhaps a more academic setting, or works that you've heard performed live.
Well, for this poem, I was actually at the beach, and that's what inspired it.
Uh-huh.
But I really like The Beach Generation. That's some of my favorite poetry. So I really try and go for the twist ending or the surprise at the end and keep my readers off guard. Or
excellent.
Anybody who actually reads it, because I don't have readers.
But. Well, I'm sure you will. Well, you should know that one of the Beat Era poets, A.D. Winans, is coming to Bistro 33 next Wednesday. He's the author of 50 books of poetry, and he'll be reading on November 3rd at 8 p.m.
Perfect.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Thank you, Megan. And ladies and gentlemen, we'll be right back with more of Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. Ladies and gentlemen, Noel Patterson is our next poet on Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. She's a freshman majoring in civil engineering from Oceanside in North San Diego County. She's known for her work on the intramural Ultimate Frisbee team. She's a member of the Cal Aggie Marching Banda. She plays flute. And she had, she alleges, no experience with poetry before this class. Luckily, this class, which is called Three Poems a Week, it's a freshman seminar, has sparked her interest in the literary culture of Davis, as well as in reading and writing poetry for its own pleasures outside of any academic arena. I'm pleased that she's come by this afternoon to share with us one of her works. Noel Patterson, welcome to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
Thank you.
Absolutely. So tell me, if you would, the title of the poem that you're going to share this afternoon.
This poem is called I Am a Mouse.
Great, let's hear it.
I am a mouse, a shrimp, a squirt, an elf, a baby, a pipsqueak, a miniature, even a fairy. I am small, puny, dainty, tiny, mini, short, teensy, or you could just say vertically challenged. When the gun fired and the race began in ascent to the clouds, I must have stumbled on the starting line. Whoever gave me the challenge to reach heights of 5'10", even 5'2", I have failed you. Those who stack up value in long legs, majestic stature, higher, higher, I am your greatest disappointment. But I don't play your game. I will remain close to the ground I stand on, and you will not see my growth as it reaches toward the sky.
That was wonderful. Thank you so much. I love how you extend that metaphor. And there's that crucial but about three quarters the way through to show an interesting shift or change in the poem. You had written in your bio that you have a growing or a sparking interest, maybe a sparkling interest in reading and writing poetry and public performances. I remember that you read a poem a few weeks ago at the open mic at Bistro 33. Tell me a little bit about that experience from your point of view as a performer and the sort of courage or anxiety that you were wrestling with as you stood there behind the microphone.
That was my first time reading a poem out loud to anybody, and one of the first poems I have written, a completed work. And I was really nervous before I went up, but once I started reading, and I just felt like I just had to become part of the poem and just let it come through. And afterwards, seeing that everybody was smiling and applauding, it really made the experience worth it. And having people come to me afterwards showed that people actually were interested and were listening. And it was one of my favorite experiences of college so far.
Excellent. Well, you're just a few months right into your college experience.
Yes.
No doubt you will have additional rewarding experiences, but I'm glad that that was one of them. And so have you been inspired now to read your work more often, or at least again?
Yeah, I think so.
Excellent. Good. I hope you do. Noelle Patterson, thank you so much for sharing your poem this afternoon.
Thank you.
Sure. This is Dr. Randy's Poetry and Technology Hour. We've got a couple more poets, and so I'll just invite one of them to take the chair, and I'll let you know who it is. Elise, how do you pronounce your last name?
Leung.
Leung. Elise Leung is a first-year student here at UC Davis. She's from Irvine, California, and she's undeclared in the Agricultural College. She would like to learn how to bike without handlebars. So an excellent goal for your time here in the city of Davis. What's the title of the poem that you're going to share with us this afternoon?
Green Tea Ice Cream.
Great. Let's hear it.
We want to make it. Just buy the ice cream. But we want some sense of creation, authenticity. Can't you see how automation and plastic seals rub us the wrong way, implore us to say, don't do it in this manner. So we run down bleach-bright aisles, storms of fluorescent lights sighting the miles of goods, good for nothing. What's green tea made of anyhow? How were those leaves reduced, producing powder, stripping power of familiarity of nature, even from us who find nature little, in little packets, sealed tight individually, perpetually, prized, priced, plastic can't compose past parts. Lifetimes in here counted by wrappers of rice crackers, strawberry gummies, red bean mochi, sealed tight coldly, crackly, antiseptically. Peel back the lid of a treat you didn't make.
That's wonderful. Tell me the title again.
Green tea ice cream.
Green tea ice cream. All right. Elise Leung, I hope that you won't be offended, but I'm going to skip the questioning portion for the rest of you all so that we can fit you all in during our time. Would you be bothered by that?
That does not bother me at all.
All right. Well, that was your question then. All right. Well done. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Let's hear from another poet. Who's coming up next? Great. Thanks very much. Shirley Wong is here to share with all of you a poem. She's a first-year undergraduate at UC Davis. She's majoring in chemistry and only likes to drink boiled water, she says. She enjoys going to karaoke with friends during break at her hometown of San Francisco. She's lived there since she was born. Right now she's here. Shirley Wong, welcome to the program.
Hi.
Hi. Let's hear a poem. What's the title of the poem that you've chosen?
Too Fast, Too Focus.
Great. Let's hear it.
Too Fast, Too Focus. Time passes so fast that it's unimaginable. Along with the panic attack that arrives, with the heart like a hammer pounding on nails, as if the thick, rusted, spiraled part would pop. But still, millions drill into the mushy blob, while papers fly up like madness, in which ears have closed up to the point that nothing is understandable or heard, and it is all confined into oneself, where the two fingers pick up the utensil and begin to jot down the spats and dots and letters of all the possible words said, as a tall, loud, projective voice speaks to a crowd of eyes staring without realization of the end.
That's wonderful. I love that bit about the what was it, the spats and the dots, and what was the third thing?
Letters.
The spats and the dots and the letters. That's a delightful combination of words. How did that come to you?
I was sitting in lecture hall, and I was just thinking about, like, I was, like, jotting down everything, and the teacher was talking too fast, so I was like, there's all these, like, bubbles in my head. Yeah.
Right. Excellent.
That's how I came up.
Well, good. I really enjoyed that poem. Thanks for sharing it this afternoon.
Thank you.
Absolutely. All right, folks, we are just about the end of the hour, but we've got time for one more poet, and he is here in the studio. His name is David Tai, and he's a freshman at UC Davis. He's from the Bay Area. Currently, he's undeclared, but he's thinking of becoming a veterinarian, for he loves animals. David, welcome to the program.
Welcome, Dr. Andy.
Thank you. What's the title of the poem that you've written for us this afternoon?
A Scholar's Trouble.
A Scholar's Trouble?
Yeah.
Great, let's hear it.
Work is due tomorrow. The hand holding the pencil is ready. However, the mind is unsteady. Procrastination is extremely deadly. Work is due tomorrow. The laptop harbors good and evil, Microsoft Word, and the Internet. Picking the wrong choice is too common of an error. Procrastination is a habit. Work is due tomorrow. The numerous friends and the various events are just a step away. Work is important, but this is too hard to ignore. Procrastination will make you very poor. Work is due tomorrow. Assignment is due tomorrow. Cramming is a routine ritual. Procrastination is horrible.
Oh, I like that. That's very good. I like the idea of Microsoft being good because it means creation. You're writing an essay, a required paper, maybe a poem for this class, whereas the Internet, with its millions of distractions, is evil, for it will lead you astray. It will lead you away from Microsoft Word. That's very smart. This sounds like a familiar dynamic with you and your own work habits.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, they make word processors now that erase everything that's on the screen except for the white page and the cursor. So, and it disables the noises that your email program makes, et cetera, et cetera. So it's just you and the cursor getting some writing done. Seems like a glorious invention, in part because it acts as a buffer between you and this kind of overwhelming fire hose of information that we all have to sort through every day. So if you're curious, I'll let you know about some individual programs. I'll research that off the air, not when we're talking about poetry. Do you have work due tomorrow?
Yes.
Well, you better get to work then. Thank you very much, David.